Chapter 22. "No reason why you shouldn't know," Patsy said as they walked chummy in the cloisters, sheltering from the cold, thin, soaking drizzle that had blown in from the sea. "Your new wife will probably have nightmares, so you better be aware of what's afoot, as they used to say in the comics, because it's more than a game." He went on to tell Charlie how Alchemist had cornered Bix on Lake Maggiore, and how they now knew of Chermiet's contract to assassinate President and Mrs. Portunin. Patsy explained everything except his own part in rescuing Bex Oleska. He rarely spoke of his own involvement and adventures. His personal file said that he had an unassuming and capable manner. "They've even identified the bugger Alchemist." Patsy took long, somewhat halting steps, and Charlie found it difficult to keep up with him. "He was a professional soldier for years, boy entrant, Green Howards, then SAS, until there was an unfortunate incident with an NCO and an accidental shooting. He left the regiment, but remustered in the Royal Marines. Wizard soldier, apparently. Walks on water, goes invisible, turns himself inside out like a reversible coat. Amazing bastard, name of Richardson. We've got pictures now, but they're old. Back at the office they've got the magic machines to show how he probably looks these days. Bex is the only person to have seen him head-on recently." Charlie, who knew a great deal about the attributes of Alchemist, was aware of the legendary necromantic powers of the killer. He also knew that one day the man who was Alchemist would make a mistake, or those who sought him would get incredibly lucky. This apolitical murderer would finally make his violent quietus. Charles was 110% sure of it. "This can't be a coincidence," Patsy rambled on. "It's got to be the same man, Chermiet. We've got an alert out for the yacht. All we can do at the moment, though, if he's got Alchemist working for him, he'll know damn all. From what we understand, the guy gets his orders, takes the finances, his starter for a million or whatever it is, and disappears to do the job." Charlie thought, "Lord help us, Alchemist on the loose, and this Russian hood Chermiet tied into the fortune being laundered by the monks of Ringmaruki." Words came into his head, adapted from the great barbarous Anglo-Saxon epic poem. "Now from the marshes under the misty mountains comes Alchemist prowling, branded by God. This murdering monster was minded to trap some hapless human in the high hall." "You warned the Russian?" Charlie asked Patsy. "The press has been warned, but nothing doing. They're still coming. So it's all hands to the pumps. Something like that. Saturation. We're going to be drenched with SAS, airborne, and Royal Marines. They'll be everywhere, on rooftops, behind windows, up each other's bums with their hunting rifles, scopes, and exploding bullets. They're going to ferry Bortunin and his missus everywhere by chopper, with several decoys. Cars only when there's no alternative. That's why I've got to get back to London with Bex." Patsy looked pointedly at his watch, and Charlie could feel the energy building like an electric charge. Patsy was always one for perpetual motion. "This business with Chermiet was unexpected," Wright said, "but they'll track the bugger down. Can't lose an ocean-going yacht for long, especially with such a fanciful name." "This man, Chermiet, heads up some organized crime family in Georgia, right? Very big wheel. Capo di tutti bloody capo, I shouldn't wonder. But he's Chechen. By birth, yes. But these guys nip across the new frontiers like wheat cross the road. They pick and choose, duck, dive, weave around. They're part of the warp and weft of life out there. Corrupt as a hatful of arseholes as well. Why would they want to take out the president of the Russian Federation? Hard to say. Probably worried because the man's very popular, going to get the country back on its feet. That's the last thing they'd want. Mind you, Charlie, they're crazy people, so it could be that they're dyed-in-the-wool, born-again communists. Or want people to think they are. Sure. And you'd already got an operation going on here on Ringmaruki, among the monks. Jacks of all trades these days, old love. We'd been on the track of loot for quite a while, chasing up money. Known for some time that the monks were doing some creative financial haute cuisine. Unfortunately for them, the cash was so big that it might as well have had neon signs pointing to it. So Kit Palfrey was your inside man. Sort of outside bet, more than inside man. Kit really brought those scrolls back from Moscow, you know. Patsy shot Charlie a sideways look, trying to gauge if he was believed or not. The old man took a look at them, out of interest, you know. Suggested Kit use them to get in here, what with old Gregory Scott being an expert and all. Kit had already had dealings with these holy Joes, of course, but you know that. Grin. Tap his coat pockets. Turn. Walk the other way. Charlie still trotted along beside him. Overstepped the mark, though. Had no right to deal you in, old boy. Don't really know why he did, but my guess is that he spotted you and decided he wanted company. Saw you'd clocked him as well. Thought it was best to have you on his side. Another pause and turn. Could be he wanted some legal backup. Didn't quite trust head office, eh? Maybe. Sorry you've been troubled, really. It's all a bit hairy, and I don't think Bex'll be the same again. It'll hit her when she lets up for a while, when she stops. You're going to have to keep an eye on her. Look after her, Charlie. Charlie thought it sounded dodgy indeed and didn't care for it at all. For the first time since he'd met her, he wished that Bex would give up the job. When the taciturn fathers Harry and Hugh had been sent away to catch up on their sleep, Charlie asked if he could have the rest of the transcript to read. You realize you've only been given edited highlights? In spite of his age, Gregory Scott appeared to thrive on lack of sleep. As for Patsy, you got a charge of nervous energy from him. In a cold, dry climate, he would be a dangerous man to shake hands with, a walking electric shock. Yes, I know. You've been giving me gems from Naomi's diary. Something like that, but I'll see you get the main pages. It's very interesting, the idea that Joseph of Arimathea was involved in a plot to take Jesus' living body to the Essenes. He was probably an Essene himself for some time. Who, Joseph? Yes, people who know about these things are pretty certain of it. They also think he was a disciple of Jesus's. He was certainly a council member, the Sanhedrin, that is, and he seems to have been well off. Interesting how he suddenly pops up, just when he's needed. Rich disciple, good and righteous, that's what the Gospels say. What's going to happen, Charlie? The question ran on quickly without a pause, his voice dropping slightly. Patsy and Kit had gone outside, and Charlie would join Patsy in the cloisters later. What's going to happen about what? Am I going into the pokey, Charles? What do you think I meant? What's on the menu? Charlie thought for a moment. I'm not really privy any more, but my instincts tell me they won't want to make too much of a fuss unless they pick up Chermiet on some very serious charges and get a lot of cash back. What about you, Gregory? Will the Order of St. Jerome survive? Of course it'll survive. Passing fancy, not a fad. We're not God's punk rockers. Roll on today, roll off tomorrow. We don't get so many novices these days, but they do still keep coming. Which is surprising, really, when you consider the way in which so many Anglican priests and prelates are trying to gainsay the faith. We've even got an archbishop who prophesies the death of the Church of England in one generation. He's no cause to talk like that. Defeatist and sinful, really. Yet I suppose it's all part of the idiot, muddled thinking. I heard priests being referred to as worship leaders the other day. People aren't taught facts anymore. I had noticed. Is there an answer? Will the church survive, you mean? Something like that. Yes, eventually it'll get back to full strength. These things run in cycles. At the moment we seem to be in the dog days of belief. People have to be galvanized into action by events, pushed along. Already there are straws in the wind of change, demonstrations of people's need for a spiritual life. Haven't you noticed how many folk are getting married? When the accent is on just having a partner, not a husband or wife. Buzzword, partner. Yes, and the real buzzword should be mystery. That's what the church has lost. They've done away with tradition, not set standards, told people that God is all-loving and that he'll forgive anything, even lies, murder, rape and torture. They say very little about the requirements for God's absolution. Scott gave a little snort. So many of our priests want to talk of themselves as ministers first and priests last. But it should be the other way around. They're falling over themselves trying to prod people into pews, and they've lost sight of what really matters, teaching the good news of God, keeping an eye on the rules, and setting beautiful standards of worship. worship sanctified by custom, not by clapping along, cheers and pop songs. Where's the dignity in that? It's like a Christmas game. Your man in the street isn't lured into faith by accessibility, though the happy clappers have convinced themselves.